interrupting the current cricketism over and over each week. You're really playing this one up, aren't you? Anyway, we're interrupting that current cricketism anyway, behind Woodshed. This is BTW RLM 360. The folks just won't give up on this one, will they? It's very interesting to watch how this works out. But what am I talking about? The great beer heist of 2020. It's pretty amazing to watch. I tried to get ahead of this one to try and say, let's not focus too much, but, you know, what are they? No one listens behind the Woodshed. But for lots of people talking about it, I wouldn't even know why people are so enamored by continuing the problem that it's like being blindsided, willfully blindsided. This coronavirus has everybody focused on things they don't need to be focused on. And yet, indirectly, it's making people more aware, whether they know this or not, of what's coming on, how it's coming on, and really what to do. Every year, we go through this. Every year. You put a name on it, though, as I keep telling you, be careful when someone puts a name on you. Don't label you, because they can control you. And they control the perception through you. And this is what they've done with this, a flu virus, a flu that goes through, and there's a number of them, every year. And John Rappaport has been reporting about this. This is the false medicine, if you will, and the players that are involved, and you can kind of get balled up in it, or you can start to step back and say, well, let's look at this. Now, we have to be prepared. Every year, the flu hits. Every year, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands globally of people die. And yet, we announced this year, 2020, remember? I said, we're going to be traumatized ever again. We're going to be seeing this again. In one regard, I'm really feeling pretty good about how I perceive things and that I perceive them the way I do. And yet, I look out in the world and for the, and even just the United States, and even just the small community of people that I deal with or don't deal with because they don't want to understand about responsibility and taking it on. I watch this enveloping insanity work. It's even working out to people that would even for myself, you look out and you see it, you want to dismiss it all. Not that you're dismissing it. What I'm saying is you realize it's pretty nonsensical. And yet you have to make decisions around the nonsense. And this is what I keep saying about that chaos type thing. Now, to those of you that are prepared for a long-term sequestering, this is probably a good thing. For those of you that aren't moving, having to prepare much, good for you. You are looking ahead. But I told you here just the beginning of January or so when this, when Wuhan or Wu, be ready for medical martial law. They're practicing how to pull this thing down. They're going to pull it one more notch tighter, if not completely tighter. And the medical martial law experiment is ongoing. And now, so we're seeing it this week as it moves along. So I don't look at this as the people emptying the shelves of the wrong aisles. You see that, and you realize you better have stuff stocked up, and you need to go in because people get nuts. They just suck everything off the shelves. And you also then notice what happens. How long will you survive is being now played to us if we were paying attention. Now it's going to get a little bit tighter. In some places, again, this is they got to keep it underneath people's thresholds of acceptance. And they haven't quite got this thing tuned out quite yet to really put the completeness on us, except they send the signals. And we've heard those too. And I've been telling you for years, look at the news as the notice of the signals to anticipate what's maybe going on. And I say maybe because they can always decide not to pull that trigger, if you will, or push that shot. And so they have an agenda they're working on. It isn't quite done. But they are fulfilling an agenda as well at the same time schedule that some of us are saying you need to stop it and then others, most everybody else doesn't. And that's the most disconcerting thing for me. Is that I look at a lot of this and say, you know, if we just handled this, if we took the responsibility, we can start bringing this under control. And once we did that, we would be more experienced in how we would handle this worst case scenario, which is medical martial law. And how we do that is we out how it's a fraud. How we do that is essentially the basis of what I've been suggesting, how you deal with these kinds of things when that totalitarian state and the benevolence of the color of government comes out to be the dictator, the tyrant that it is, underneath a color that a rule of law and democracy, you are have to be vigilant to stop that encroachment and destruction. And if you don't, then you will live underneath whatever they put on you. And right now, we're going to be living underneath whatever they put on us. Not only do we not have the mass of educated people, we have people in fear. And you need to start, you don't need to do anything, I suppose. You can be crickets, but you necessarily need to look at how people respond to all this. Find your place around that. It's not one of disinterest. It's not one that says, okay, I've got it understood, I'm aware and how to handle it. You're going to have to figure out at some point, they lock it down where you live. And you may be satisfied with that. Maybe you are a couch potato basement dweller or whatever, and you are happy as long as they get the power and the internet. Well, it gets so bad at times. And we hear this when if you look at the documentaries about Spanish flu, nothing passes. No power, no internet, no nothing, if they go to that extreme. And so this is an object lesson for us, and the only reason why I keep touching it, because everybody seems to be enamored with it, instead of taking action in other areas. We're also learning some interesting things. We can function without having to go out and talk with people. There is that internet, remember? And we can still get preparation done when this thing blows through, and it will blow through, as I said before. Folks, it's flu season. It's flu season. I don't know what to say. Why put a name on the flu season? Why hasn't the WHO declared a pandemic? Oh, they're getting closer. Oh, it's extreme. Oh, they're really concerned. But why haven't they? Because it's the flu. It can't fit their script for moving their agenda. They're going to get their agenda anyway. So now you see, if you're looking very carefully, how the politics of this thing is, how the infrastructure is laid out, how everybody is well placed to get what they want anyway. They continue to keep their actions under color of a plausible foe. And you keep believing it. Not everybody here that listens. In fact, very few actually listen, and this is our problem. Right? So if we had a better thought in our brain, and we were looking different in anything that I'm doing, it's not affecting anything really that I'm doing or the people I work with. But yeah, you may want to take other precautions. Yes, that's real. And the folks I deal with are a lot older, so more susceptible. And yet, we still function. And we do what we can. Is that a guarantee? No. Mother Nature's pretty tough. The beasties are out there. Does it mean that every year I've been paralyzed every winter? No. So how come this year? How come this year everyone's paralyzed? And then we look at the background of all this, and the same people are in the government that are observing all this stuff, that are in the seats of decision for leveraging what they need to get out. Do not dismiss what happened underneath. There's so much that is going on right in front of your face. They got the funding to do the RNA vaccine. That's the one that can do genetic damage to people. Guess what we've been saying the eugenics agenda would be, and or other controllers that are sitting there. So they're getting what they want, and they're doing it because everyone would rather look for the next news about the next blow-up. That's all, in my mind, totally fabricated. Anybody I talk to, I've been talking to a few people, what they're researching up for, like they're getting sick, and it's a cold. It's not even matching up. And it's tough, and it's not nice. And yet, this happens every year. And this blows up to the point that all of a sudden, if you don't understand the importance of this, you label something and you can control the minds of other people. You're watching how it gets done. You're watching how we are mentally controlled. And there's that subtle line that comes in that you can't disregard the nature of it, because that's real. That'll get anybody at any time. And yet you see that there's a veneer utilizing that chaos in order to bring on something right in front of your face. It's really a fascinating thing. And yet, here we go, get right onto it. There are some people that are seeing it, have seen it. Corona baloney. It's the money, honey. And that's what struck my mind, because that's what happened this last week pretty much. Been interested in John Rappaport. I have thoughts in the morning when I get up, and that afternoon or the next day, he's writing about very consistent, very similar subject matter areas. Not that I read too much. I mean, if it comes through the post, I get to see it. I don't talk with him. But there's a, once you get in a certain, I've told you this before. Again, these are object lessons for our consideration. Once you are in the proper thought, I consider the proper thought, people who are in that proper thought will all think pretty much the same. It's not the herd mentality. It's that you are seeing the truth. There's only one way, a reality, if I can say that. There's only one way to look at a particular thing when you see it correctly. As I said, you'll track through and do your own trails eventually. Hopefully, you'll do your trails of study, and you come to one that's not one conclusion, but a conclusion of an observation, and you end up taking a moment back. You take a step back, looking into this stinking abyss you're staring at, wondering how the heck did this thing develop in your backyard? And then you look over to your right or your left, and your left, and you find other people standing there that had the same, that found the same thing through the path they came through. You didn't even know them. This is the same thing. And I'm interested, again, the needle in the haystack. I'm looking to see what the real game is, and I think I've hit it pretty well. They're running that agenda on it. They're using the cover of this to do so. They have other things that they're trying to do. You're watching the economy fluctuate. I don't know if that's a plan or for a political election thing. I just know that it's happening. If you're not in there and not of that, then it's not going to affect you. If you're prepared to be separate from it, then it's not going to affect you. But their agenda continues, and so you essentially, if you have any idea of your rights for you, your rights for your property, and the protection and the remedies that are all blown out right now, you can't just sit back and say, I'm okay because the beer virus is going to get me. There's really this other thing going on that's still an encroachment over and over and over. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine. We come up with these maybe so-called clever ideas on how to counter some of this. If you're not thinking ahead on how someone the other side is going to take your clever idea and mishandle it to advance their agenda, and you think you know about that, you're missing really the big play here. It's not just about coming up with clever solutions. This is how, when you put that out there, will the other side pick it up and play it? And what did you throw in to poison pill? What did you put in place? What did you know to put in place? It's a different thought process. But getting back there, Corona Bologna, it's the money, honey. I guess in Italy there would be Corona Bologna, wouldn't it? You just heard they locked down 16 million people in Italy, right? Just closed them down. Object lesson. And then they gave us the time. And it was actually longer than I told you here weeks and weeks ago. I said, be ready to be locked down for 3 weeks. They were telegraphing that time. Then it went to 25 days. Italy just locked everybody down till 16 million people down till April the 7th, I think I heard. That's a month. And so you think it's not happening. Watch, folks, it's coming. There's all a test on how you're going to respond, and I don't know really what you do here. I think it's actually protecting you. But what they're doing underneath the agenda protecting you, because it's flu season and you're going to go out and get a cold because you're dirty little monkeys, as I hear Grimner say all the time, I agree with that part. Can't do the basic hygiene things to be careful for. And what I told you back in Wuhan or Woo Woo broadcast is coming out. I mean, it's pretty well simple stuff. Now, it doesn't guarantee that you're not going to get something. And it doesn't, because your health is made by you, essentially, what you take in. But how you keep this thing away from you is you get sick a couple times, get immune, and then you keep yourself sanitary to not pick up things that overwhelm your system. How many people are sitting out there that haven't been affected by the flu for years, 15, 20 years? And yet someone's going to invent a vaccine, an RNA vaccine that changes your DNA that's better than what your natural immune system is? And so we have a whole lot more to think about that's going right underneath there. But Corona Bologna, it's the money, honey. Boy, that was big time. Right, follow the money. All right? And then I get in Italy, Corona Bologna. Big time problem right here for us as a globe, a world, but really each individual locally. And I'll show you how the stories come out to tell us this. Overnight, like they flick a switch. And this is the problem with presumptiveness. This is the problem with presuming you would be an enemy combatant or a vector, a contagion, presumptively. And you hear them using the word. Okay, so this is, I've been talking about all this before. The problem with using the word presumptive, and I think they figured out they have a problem, that requires, I told you this before, why I've told you this before coming in, not because of this, because they were going to move in this direction. Presumptiveness requires a due process court, doesn't it? Judicial determination. Presumptiveness requires the ability to rebut. Not your behind, your rebut. A rebuttal. And that's one of the options that I'm saying, if you understood how to address this, you're not disregarding the danger of the flu, and you're not becoming a literal natural vector to it, because that's you can. You're trying to stem the utility of this thing to be used for, by tyrants underneath the color of their benefice. And the presumptive nature of this required a hearing somehow. And I've been telling you how you address those things. I've been telling you how you advance ahead when that doesn't happen. I've been suggesting to you how you start to avoid these things that come on you in a, like a switch. But let me get to this beginning story before we get to the switch being flipped right in the United States. John Rappaport writes, "We all understand that governments can invent money out of thin air. However, inventing a reason out of thin air to invent the money can sometimes takes a little more ingenuity. Enter the virus, the medical version of Satan." To new readers, fully understand the next paragraph, you'll need to read my previous articles in China Epidemic, Con Job, and he provides a link to his archive, and I've been doing, in fact, one, I think it was Wuhan versus, or Wuwu, I presented a lot of his links for this setup as well, but you can go to his link when you get this or go there. And then he says here now, a virus whose very existence is in doubt, the diagnostic tests for the virus are entirely inadequate and useless and misleading. Therefore, the case numbers are meaningless. The virus's supposed origin is Wuhan, in a place where highly dangerous and unprecedented air pollution can account for all the effects of the so-called virus. Is he missing anything here, folks? I mean, I just don't... Here's a short list. That's why I'm reading it. This is a short list. Everything else can be looked at before we get to presuming you to be a contagion. Everything else should be looked at before we consider you an enemy combatant. But no, the powers that are doing this, the caucusocracy, is putting it on you, and then they come back and say they have the answer for you, and none of you step up and say, but that was presumptive authority. And so the virus is what comes out. John has been continually discussing about this thing is, oh, the virus. But air pollution has to be can be taken into account for all the same effects of the so-called virus. And now one prediction on steroids is pegging the eventual global case numbers at 15 million people. The cost of containing the virus is $2.4 trillion. The elite players are visiting their tailors and having their deep pockets deepen further to absorb this planned windfall. And then he goes on to write, and I'll stop reading here, on to write L.A., how they're accepting and going to declarations of the state of emergency. Why'd they start doing that this week? Why? Because what's the next really story, folks? What happened this week? The House does what? The purse strings, passes an $8.3 billion emergency coronavirus spending plan. Right? There's the money. All right? This was done by Congress. You think this is like 9/11. I told you this is like this is 2020, hindsight. They're going to re-traumatize everything, and they're going to get their funding through for things that they were already planning on doing. $8.3 billion, with a B, for emergency coronavirus spending. There's $300 million earmarked for particularly for promoting delivery of this thing, and $3 billion specifically earmarked, as I understand this, for actual development of this vaccine they wanted, this RNA vaccine, which is not tested. You heard a little bit there, they're going to do the testing now. But you know we've explained how that testing works, and I've explained over and over the administrative side how you stop them doing the presumptive good that they come through administratively that no one steps up to do either. that we could be putting a buffer on this. Immediately this week, though, the House passes, and now you hear emergencies declared. This is kind of like fire emergencies in a way. When the federal government will foot the bill, they go ahead and call it an emergency because it offsets their state accounts. And so now we're going to hear these comes out. It's going to be for the most frivolous thing. Why? Because the virus, folks. It's the virus. And so everyone's allowing this plunder. This is the great beer heist of 2020, folks. And so the writing's on the wall on this. So, I mean, this is not something really that we say, this is just nuts and insanity and I'm not going to pay attention. No, there's a conditioning going on right now. And it somehow it doesn't look so close to you, but it's end up coming down on how they lock down things very, very close to you. As the money comes from the feds to put locally to do enforcement. Well, for what, you say? What, making vaccines? They don't have them. Well, giving vaccines? They don't have them. Well, they have to also get your consent. Or, as John entered into that, I hope you listen to that, they invent the reason. And I've been talking, this is the problem about the pin. In the needle in the haystack. In the haystack of noise regarding the flu season, there's a thing, the needle inside, that if you go searching for it, you'll find. I mean, it's going to stick you right in the end of the finger. And you'll realize what it is too late. And this little pin seems like it's small, but it's actually your entire existence, essentially. And this is a global control as well. I don't want to get all blown out that way, because if we can't understand local, then it seems stupid outside. But if I can show you that they're doing it local, which you can see in the news, it follows the pattern I told you was coming when I discussed it in January. And the hindsight problem, and the trauma, and the putting on you necessity, the state necessity, which is the worst problem. And then I told you medical martial law is this problem, which I really don't understand how we would get around it. I don't think anyone could actually do it when they just put a thumping on you. They're ready to kill you already, so they'll shoot you in the street. You become that threat to that system, and there's lots of money that they're protecting, so why not? It is a very serious problem to consider. And so I've asked everyone to reconsider this positioning that they're putting us in, so we don't get ourselves into that, what I say, the jeopardy. We don't walk into that. And we get ready in our mind in case they try to pull this off. So here, billions are now dedicated from the feds. All the state's got to do is declare an emergency. They're going to get the money to do what? Pay the local enforcers. And here we have it. I don't know, within days of it came out. Okay, folks, United States of America, home of the free and the brave and all this other nonsense, due process and remedy, and over 2,700 New York City residents quarantine in homes over corona fears. 2,700 New York City residents quarantined in one decision immediately. Are you ready for that, folks? Let's read a little bit about it. About 2,800 New York City residents are under quarantine to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Remember, they don't have a good test for it. It's in flu season. How much more protected and plausible have they made this? But they locked down 2,700 people. Oh, it's not me, not there. This is the task, folks. This is how they're going to do it. How are you going to put up with it? How are you going to say, you're stuck in here now, how are you going to say anything? When they also say, and some could face fines and jail time if they venture outside their homes, officials said Thursday. Now, if you don't have like the first paragraph of that list together that John just wrote in a bag for yourself, and actually now that you got the internet, how are they going to let us? You can't lick a stamp now and send it on, right? Because they pressure those stamps. You can actually press them on. Do a video showing you how you press it on with your hands and covers. Anyway, and you're going to get the letter out. How do you get it out? How do you communicate? This is where the internet becomes a real powerful thing. You make the first paragraph part of your entry letter to someone that challenges their presumptive standing. And you do it electronically. Or you have a friend send it. Maybe you try the habeas corpus. Maybe you try something about all the people that talk about your constitutional rights and give lip service to it. Maybe you start affecting it and you laugh, well, what good does that do? Why? Because it creates the pressure, the mass, that begins the mass pressure that exposes their crime, without which they get away with it. So they got quarantined over 2,700 people. Was it 2,773? They're saying home isolation. All in medical martial law. I told you it was coming. It's hit the United States. They didn't need a dictatorial state to do so. The medical martial law is itself, the medical need is itself a martial consideration underneath their police power. There, this caucusocracy. So here we have, I need you to think about this. Overnight, you're locked into your house. Some of you say, okay, fine. And that's fine because you're ready to go, right? I mean, that's not the point. They did it presumptively to 2,700 people. Did they test everybody? What test did they use? No, it's presumptive. That requires due process, otherwise they're violating your rights. Now, what did the UN just come out to say? Cautions all the nations, and you understand they're still playing a pivotal part in making themselves relevant. They came out to say countries that are doing quarantine, nonetheless, must consider human rights even. And you know what I think about those? The point is that they're coming out to tell everybody that they're telling the governments that your rights are going to be violated, and that isn't something that they have to be cognizant of not doing. There's your authority to be able to push back as well if you needed that part. Everyone seems to be needing reasons why they have an answer or a word in their mouth. And so the presumptive condition I've been telling you, you know, they locked onto us in the PATIRT Act for an enemy combatant is this thing today relative to you being a vector for the dreaded virus. Something that happens every year. The thing that the same UN organization has not declared a pandemic, and I believe it's because they know it's normal flu. They can't prove that there's been a human-to-human transfer in two regions of the novel thing they planned. This got away from them. If it isn't normal and natural, it got away from them. It isn't planned. They're doing it after the fact. But what did they want? They wanted that RNA genetic damaging type of a vaccine, right? They want to move the agenda on. And so this comes undercover. But they're now testing how they can put everybody underneath medical martial law and quarantine. Now, quarantines are important things. They soften it by saying home isolation. Well, you should isolate yourself in the sewers. There's lots of isolation you should be doing naturally. This is a little different when they order that. Remember, this is a place in China that they shoot people in the streets. We got some of the reports. Okay, I'll agree with that, because they shoot the people already in the streets without the medical martial law in the United States. When you hear the cop, you're too smart to be a cop anyway, AQ, less than 80 IQ, well, that's not my opinion. That's not my being contrary. That's the Supreme Court saying so on a number of cases. I feared for my life. Someone who understands that the kitchen gets too hot a lot of times and steps in anyway, unprepared. I've feared for my life and you're dead. And you see over and over, as I was been telling you for over a decade and writing about it before, this was coming on because they used this little necessity thing that the courts have given, the Bar Association. And so this becomes a very difficult dynamic. They lock you down. I told you that weeks and weeks and weeks ago, this is a test for medical martial law. Don't expect that you're going to be seeing it just over there. Expect you're going to see it in the United States and Western nations, if you will. And be careful of this already agreed to right in the cops to kill you. To be exactly what you see going on in the streets of China, but you didn't notice it. And this is what's starting to play out as a threat that you really don't recognize. Don't underestimate the fact that I told you the military doctors were brought into Wuhan immediately. And they were what? They were the gatekeepers. They also promoting that their people, their military people, are not getting sick. They're not explaining how they're doing that. They're just saying that they have the regimes that they need in order to do so. But they stuck the military in the way of what? The information. You have to go through, everything has to go through the military in China. What's the corollary in the West? If you didn't think that we're sitting in a military occupation, what's the corollary organization in the West? It's doing the identical thing. But the CDC, Isn't a health official a military officer? We talked about this before. And you have to go through the CDC to get permission. How do we know that? Because that's that presumptive thing. The states are not even qualified to do the testing. They do a preliminary test that gives an indication that we know this is useless. But then they say we've got a presumptive case of the so-called coronavirus. And then they have to go send it to the CDC to get authorization to use that finding. Is no different a military occupation as we saw the medical officers in China. I told you, you're looking at a carnival mirror, you're looking at the reflection between the West and the East, and you don't think it's different, and it's identical. It's not about the virus, it's about the mechanisms in place that are already functioning like clockwork that pass everybody's perception. If the states are not qualified, then you know they have no power either. They're all subject to the federal if you thought you had states' rights. And so start looking jurisdictionally of who has the say and who doesn't. But under the presumptive view, even under useless tests, the state now has power to enforce. How are they going to do that? They declare emergencies and the federal government now pay them. It's like fighting a fire, folks. The ones they cause. Remember, how many times I talked to you about the fire? We found the fire wildfire policies. I went and read them. Since 1995, that policy's been in. I dissected that, created a white paper, sent it out. A couple points of which I said, here, colleagues of mine, I said, here, you need to tell the commissioners to act, do this, this, and this. We won't touch most of this document, but we'll have backup. But touch this, this, and this, and you'll circumvent the contagion of arson that they put on this country in the West. And we were able to do that. It is no different to my mind as this coronavirus. It could be any fire name, paradise. You can name it anything you want. This is corona this time. This is the corona fire. Oh, in fact, I think there was a corona fire. Anyway, it doesn't matter. See, this is all the same mechanism. I want you to see the methodology of how the caucusocracy is moving incrementally. And so roughly 2,800 New Yorkers locked down overnight. Are you ready for that, folks? Think about it. Think about that. And it's all presumptive. The CDC won't even do the tests once they're asked. Well, that's just like Fukuzilla, isn't it? They stopped doing medical. They start doing radiation testing. And I told you why was because they'll have to tell you. You'll eventually find out if they put enough information. The radiation already exists in your country. To me, this is one, the same method being played out over and over. I've told you this as well, over and over. This is not about sitting smug that I'm prepared. I come behind the woodshed to help you, try to bring people behind the woodshed that are here to help hurt you, not help you. Yet, there's a reality of the nature of this that's going to get you if you're not careful, so you've got to be careful there. So I don't want to sound like I'm disregarding a natural danger. Flu kills. Corona is a name. Okay, we can get into where the story is about that. The point is, they just labeled it so that you fix your mind on it. And why I hear tons of things about the beer flu and hear nothing about the real killer at the same time going on every year, I didn't hear $8.3 billion being thrown in on the seasonal flu. Well, you know, if you look closely, they can't do anything about nature. They certainly have control over novel, don't they? Don't they? And so, I mean, if anybody who's done a patent or reads about it, you find out if the government wants your patent, they just take it. That's one of the dangers of doing a patent. And so, the writing's right in front of us. This is not a mystery thing. The mystery for me is that people don't respond correctly. And now, like I said, I think I was too optimistic, two steps behind. No, I'm noticing we're about three or four steps behind, if maybe that. And then on implementation, we're certainly two steps behind on implementation. We don't look forward enough to see what the enemies, the other guys out there that are enemies to us, will take what we do, bounce off of it, twist it, and then get do the maneuver that they need. And as I said, entered into the broadcast, that's us not knowing the situation well enough, the totality of it, the future of what happens, and to put, let's say, the poison pill within the solution so that it's very much more difficult for that to be twisted. What am I saying? I say stuff esoterically. A voice comes in my head, yeah, that's too esoteric for people. Give them an example. The savings clauses I talked to you about, folks. The savings clauses. You got to at least throw some savings provision of prior authority in the organic state into the solution you offer that somewhat looks like it agrees. Everybody. I don't know of anybody who understands that. Everybody. Well, except for me. And that's not to put myself in any place different than where we're all supposed to be. And that's from experience, not from me saying, oh, look how much I can see and know. It's irritating to me, actually. I'm astounded as a society, the complaints that I hear and the lack of motivation and responsibility taken. But I see this thing going on. Yeah, maybe still naive, hoping one broadcast that only 500 people may ever hear, who's going to change anything? To keep people from getting too wrapped up in this, but do what they needed to do sufficiently and then keep focusing on really what the game is here. What's how it moves along and how it's not looking good for people generally. Okay, so overnight you're quarantined. What do? You think it's over just in the East because they got everybody in stack 'em and pack 'em already? The original stack 'em and pack 'em capital? No, in California. Police quarantine California neighborhood after coronavirus death. Remember, we got no test for all this. It's flu season. And somebody dies. They blame it on a fever, on a symptom, and now your house is now your prison. You want to be your castle? Good. Stay in it. And they have the police ready to go. Why? Because they declared emergency in California. Now they got the local sheriff working against you because they're getting paid by the feds. So much for your sheriff's rights, and they are sitting smug underneath this fear that they actually believe, like everybody else, that there's actually some virus out there to get you. And there is, but it's the flu. It's not the one that their money's being spent on. Oh, but if they name it the flu, then they get to spend the money, don't they? So I don't know what more to point out here. I mean, people may inherently see this, but it's, again, that's just the seeing of the deception. If your local law officers are willing or amenable to this deception and or can't think on their own, that's your law enforcement. That's the one on the backside of that trigger that says freeze. You contagion. Presumptively, and you didn't get a say in it, when due process required you at least had a say. And then I say, to give you a nice package, and there's more to bring, but if you needed one, that little first paragraph from John was pretty impressive to me about, it's not unknown, I've talked to you about it myself, but it's all nice to see a nice little package. One point by another semicolon by another point, another semicolon of all the things that are not right. And you file it back and you say, well, you got me presumptively a contagion on something you can't prove by these reasons. I want a hearing. I want you to relieve this burden on me. Exercise that system against itself. Make the record for it. Start pressing back. Yeah, it doesn't look like much. You'd be like a thimble against a tsunami. I get that. But there's two things that happen there. It's surprising how many thimbles can show up. And then you find out that the tsunami's not quite that big. But you don't see that until you get engaged. Because most of us don't have the sense of an elephant to run up and let the tsunami come in, but not let it affect us, and then go in to do what it's supposed to do, how you're supposed to help the problem correctly. Understand from the mistake and move on. This mistake isn't that you get your city destroyed. This is the one where they destroy your city in this incremental process. Even more than they're already destroyed. And I said city, but it's anywhere. So anyway, here we are. California, they just went to the emergency. They get the cha-ching. It's about the money, honey, as Rappaport was talking. And they did it immediately after the congressional anticipation of all this. And so you're locked down. I want you to think about this. You're locked in your house. Italy gives us the impression now they're good. They're willing. They said it. I just read it. April the 7th, people aren't coming out of their house. 16 million people are locked in. Are you ready for that? I was saying 3 weeks. They pushed it to 4 weeks. Are you ready for that? I hope you are. This is not about the flu at that point. This is about whether or not, how are you going to move around? How do you pay your bills? How do you do whatever you're going to do? And this is before the digital crackdown, which they can still do partly. You know, again, your phones become your leash. They become your own court tracking device. Remember, if it's presumptive, that means that some so-called judiciary has an eyeball on it. When you get there, the hearing, administrative hearing's already happened. And you have to anticipate that. None of you will, but I'm just saying it anyway, just so that I get it off my mind. I just need to get some of this off my mind that I said, well, I said it, no one heard it, that's not my fault. Those of you that do, thank you for listening, and I hope you roll up your sleeves and start to work this. What I'm saying about this works in every other aspect of the problems that are coming down. There are people, even if they're in good nature, working in the government, thinking they're doing benefits for you, that are doing harm and don't know it, because we're an uneducated people. We're not even the elephants that have the sense to run away from the lowland in a tsunami. This works in this condition, what I'm telling you. And so, presumptively, you're locked in your house. Are you ready for that? This is not a scare. You don't have the corona. This is not going to affect you now. You're isolated. If it's a virus, you're isolated. You're not going anywhere. You're safe. But now, nothing else in your life can be done. Are you ready for that? And if they can do this, and they can spread the terror and the fear, and trauma-based acceptance of people, which they are, you may be there a while. Are you ready for that? Somehow, I haven't found the evidence of it, but this is like a monopolization effect as well. And they don't do this unless it's got a deeper plan. I haven't seen the evidence of that. When we start talking about the economy, we get closer to those types of provisions. So again, this notice to us that something is working in this as an ability of a knowledge that's being gained to be able to lock down something more. Just as I told you, it's coming. I just haven't been able to spend the time to look and find the evidence. I think it's here, but I must be seeing something. That's why it's coming across my mind. I'm seeing it, but my mind's not putting all the little points. You only see them in little sentences here and there. And in some regard, I really don't focus on this stuff. I come here this weekend, on the weekend, and I focus only, that's the only time I focus on it. Once I've got everything as best situated as I can, I'm on to the next thing. There's nothing more I can do. And I was hoping the society that I live in, the majority of it would do that. But it doesn't look that way. And, that's rational enough. People just don't understand. If you're watching the people just clear the shelves on things now, certainly where the declarations are being made, and then they're partly the wrong aisles being cleared, you see a society that's unprepared. Look at that and ask. Maybe you don't. Maybe it doesn't matter to many people. I don't know. Look into your society, your fellow compatriots in the country. They were supposed to be the educated masses, vigilant on protecting themselves. Does that sound like a vigilant, educated mass of people vigilant to protect themselves and work ahead of time? Or is that some crickets way behind the thing, behind the times? Those out there that do that, how much do you think they're prepared on their property and rights to notice how they've been encroached for years? To me, is a pretty clear measuring stick. Not likely. And likely why I have very few people that want to hear this stuff. Part of me knows if people were truly interested, you'd listen to what I was saying, you'd roll up your sleeves, and you'd start doing what you need to do, and we wouldn't have the complaining, the gnashing of teeth over all this stuff. Now, we think of it, each one of us, what kind of effect with each one of us? Well, that's the problem. That's the problem question that you lull yourself into apathy with. You just need to go find the wrong you need to make right. And you need to push that forward. It has nothing to do with this coronavirus. What it has to do is watching watching a system that allowed, finally, people in the world, in history, all of history, a place to have property and remedies and maintain the ability to do what they needed to do, free of many encumbrances, short of real demonstrable exigence. And we have a society that handed that over to occupiers in so many different subject matters. So, you're in California. They lock you down tonight. What do you do? Are you ready for that? Now, people say, yeah, I'm ready. And then you fold your hands and you sit back and you, well, if you're listening to me, you still listen. Otherwise, you've changed the channel. You never tuned in. I'm not speaking to any of you in any way. But that's not where it ends. And that's the problem of focusing on something with a label. And this is what I want to keep. The only message I know to pass is that you got to look into what the dynamic is that your work that's working around you. If you're of any mind that you're worthy of your own property, your own self, your rights, unencumbered, that you can see, I can show you if you didn't know, how you use these certain documents that people use as objective basis, they say, as their authority, and show you how it isn't. And I don't complain about it. I just expose how they are without that jurisdiction, don't I? And then when they assert it without the jurisdiction, how they're criminals. It's not an argument for me. This shouldn't be an argument for you. This is an attack on your freedom. Under a plausible and very powerful, plausible reason. However, if you listen to even the first paragraph of what John writes and more, if you look around as this is what I've been telling you as well in different places, you could put yourself your own short paragraph and say, this was a violation that could not support the presumption against me. We could be doing that as a society. We could send that to your law enforcers who are not too smart, that will use this to be afraid of you, and they'll be afraid of you, and they'll shoot you, just like they do in China. Because you've been silent. You've been acting the crickets. And they're watching, people are watching how this is working. They see how well it's working. They see what's being commented on. See, that's their spirit, is to see how they can exploit. That on its own is evidence that you should be perking your awareness and working to figure out where that's legitimate and stopping it. Not many will. But again, the self-evidence is now, I guess as I get more into the years of looking at this, things are self-evident. The harms, the actions, you know them when you see them, they're all self-evident. The question becomes, what are you going to do about it? Because you're up against people literally that are not smart enough. They think they are. Well, they went to college. They didn't realize that the margins were, or the standards were lowered for college. And they're spoon-fed what they need to know. It's kind of like when you took a driver's license test. You only told you what you needed to know. They didn't make you read the Bible-sized book of codes. They didn't tell you the limits of that code. They didn't tell you the alternative, like I suggest to you, is in the road law about your ingress and egress rights by grant. They didn't tell you about all that. No, they talked about the regulatory authority. And then only what you need to know to get what? That permission to pursue an illegal act on the right of your ingress. It's called a license. And you get a little bitty pamphlet, and you think you know something. When you get the Bible, that thing that those little liability codes were trying to instruct you on, you realize you don't know a thing. Then you still don't know a thing because you didn't write it. And you still didn't know a thing because you didn't realize that you were in an occupation of the occupier implementing it contrary to its actual intent. And the system only knows that. And those in it that are in the system are only knowing about that. They know as much as you do with your pamphlet. They know a little bit more. They know how to keep control of you. But that's all they know relative to this whole thing. And periodically we get evidence of that. And here it is again. You can be too smart to be a cop. You can be of the spirit of destruction instead of helping, of being peaceful, not being peaceful, but wanting to be someone that comes out with a club. A court tells the cop that a person invoking their rights isn't suspicious behavior. I find this story really, this report pretty fascinating relative to what they're doing with presumptive guilt and your vector contagion, your corona contagion that you is. Those of you that do auditing and things, listen, don't, boy, you guys, this is not a big sword or shield. This is just a piece of information. Put it in context. Again, the cops had to be told this. The court tells the cop the person invoking the rights isn't suspicious. You better have this court case understood if you're going to use it and have it in your bag of law, not with your mouth, but you point to it. Like I do, I've showed people how to do this. It works really well. It's a prop. You don't come in there with your opinion. You come in there with objective black and white written somewhere. And they say, well, you got that off the internet, and you did. You say, yeah, you did, and then you highlight, but I highlighted it for you, so it's real easy for you to understand. Here's the passages you have to understand. To some cops, there's nothing more inherently suspicious than invocation of rights. And here's my problem with all this. That's all I tell you folks to do in a different, slightly different way, not the different way of invoking your rights. There's a formality that people don't seem to, when I say that, they don't like it. It doesn't matter. You still have a formality to go through. And in that formality, there's a certain form that you also put your assertion in. And I've said, if you'll agree with, hopefully research enough to agree, be able to agree with me, that's really a real efficient way to do things if you kind of understand what really you have to say. It's not an education process. You're just invoking a right. And then I also threw in, invoke up the limitation. And so now you've got the balance, and then you set yourself position, and they have to come back and be able to rebut that. But hopefully you're convincing them not to go past that problem, especially when you throw in that they're doing an extortion or a coercion, if it's a cop or a code enforcement. You hope that that reasoning and rationale will back them off so you don't have to get involved. If it does, then you've made the record that when you do get involved, you can then continue to press hard on the lack of authority, and then you can get the rest of the system as you will. At that point, you were going to be wrapped up anyway, and my view is it's better to have the right word in your mouth than just any word. And so invoking your rights as suspicious came from the training of someone that wasn't too smart because they didn't think their way back out of it once they were told a lie. Is a problem. And that's the other thing. Again, we look at these stories. It's not about this that we're talking about, that it's not suspicious behavior. Anybody who reads understands that. But people that are on the street having to confront the cops or making stuff up to confront the cops, which is really problematic for me, this is becomes a contention. And this is a very dangerous game to play. And you don't, in my mind, you don't need to do it. You just need to know it, and you need to assert it when it's more proper and do better, do other more important work is what I tend to look at. If I was to judge the scale and level of work, why do you test the bottom rung when you could be working with the knowledge in the top rung and fixing some real big important things? But it's an inherent suspicion that invocation of rights becomes a problem. I feared for my life, and that makes sense to me, because when you're going to invoke the rights, you're typically finding out that they're doing crimes, they're criminals, they're going to kill the evidence, it seems. They feared for their life, yeah, because you just outed them. If you missed that part of why this was coming down, I told you before, you're just going to be shot on the spot when you spout off how much rights you have and how much they knew that they did it. They just get rid of the evidence and feared for their life. In some twisted way, that's true. This system appears to believe that only guilty people do this. The innocent have no need for rights because if they have nothing to hide, then they would have nothing to fear. It takes a court to remind officers. I'm talking this out of reading this out of tech dirt. The court tells the cop that a person invoking their rights isn't suspicious behavior. And they go on to write here, the courts have to remind people that everyone has, whether or not they're guilty of anything, has the rights to assert their rights. Now, a lot of you may take that and say you can mouth off. This is not what they're talking about. And this is not something that works for the guy in the story if you listen. That's why he was still arrested and mistreated this way. So before you think that this is going to mean anything, all this is going to have a bag of law support for an authority that's not going to be listened to until enough of you start asserting the proper answer. Again, nobody, only one, it's like a thimble against a tsunami. When there's a when the when the government understands, the mass of society understands the better stance, and that the government's on the wrong foot, they're going to stop doing that. And until then, I'm some lunatic behind the woodshed that no one understands. You hear me, but you can't retell what I'm saying in an applicable way. And I get that quite a bit as well. I understand what you're saying. I just couldn't tell it to someone. Well, it's also the problem is you couldn't actually work it out, and that's what I'm asking you to take the next step. Okay, you're locked in your house. They just declared you can't travel. You're not free to move about the country. And they've just done it by a real powerful, supposed demonstrable exigence while they put a presumption on you. Do you know what to do in order to end that tyranny? First question you should do, though, is it maybe legitimate to be able to back off a bit here and let this natural course of the flu take its course? Maybe that's not such a bad idea. But for them to come out and just drop the hammer without, when you know that there's no real tests, is something else that shouldn't. It can't be tolerated. It is being tolerated, but it's not. And 2,700 people, I haven't heard the fallout of this, but I haven't heard that any response has been coming out with any substantive character, and nothing in that residential area in California. You're just locked down. Just like they did in Wuhan, like I said was going to happen. Just like they just did in Italy. 16 million people. You can't go. For a month, you can't move. You're not coming out of there. It takes a court to remind the officers that rights are rights for everyone has, and whether or not they are guilty of anything. The case deals with an officer who treated someone's invocation of his rights as a constitutional approval he needed to search. He was wrong. It all started with a traffic stop that really wasn't a traffic stop. Two officers staking out a high crime area decided to follow a van that drove by them. After discovering the plate on the van actually belonged to a Chevy Silverado, the officers decided to initiate a stop. But it was too late. The van had already reached its destination and was parked in the driveway. The officers pulled up behind it and parked, exiting their car to speak to the driver. By the time they did this, the passenger, Antonio Arrington, had already exited the vehicle and headed towards the house. Now, this is, as I read to the passenger, this is a whole other thing. That term passenger is very particular in the code, too. I don't see many people talking to this. And for a long time, we were saying we were not passengers, because that's a paid fare for hire. That's paid that fare for hire. We then moved, because I found, for the group of people I was dealing with at the time, that we wanted to consider ourselves a guest. And that works generally for two tiers or so of construction relative to a discussion. But in technical analysis, a guest is still someone defined as someone riding a motor vehicle subject. And a guest also had good things tied up with property, but it has a different liability. And so you got to look up guest liability. And so I've not favored that determinant. So to let you know about these terms and that they're important, and to put your mind into understanding what you're up against, this case was about a passenger. That's presumed a fair-paying member. A guest can be one step removed, but that's still within the context of the motor vehicle code defined. And so then I decided after I saw this after I got into mining law, and I realized that we're all grantees if we knew it on certain things, not everything, but certain things. And the grant of the road to highways is one of those things. And so not to give you the loaded gun, but that's what you start looking at. You be careful on the terminology you use, and you'll notice that this case is set up to continue the presumption that this was a commercial activity by the term of the use passenger. Passengers have particular separate different rights or privileges. And so this is a very important case to read as well on the condition and follow through on how everything changes depending on any moment in the case. Going reading a little bit more. While passengers can be questioned and searched in vehicles during traffic stops, Arrington was no longer in the van when the cops pulled up behind the vehicle to perform the stop. Arrington argued the officers had no reasonable suspicion to detain him and question him. acts that led to the discovery of drugs and a weapon. And so this, here we have some serious things coming down, all because they make stuff up. They put a label on you, like the coronavirus, like, oh, you're presumptively a carrier. You're presumptively the coronavirus itself. And now we rolled out. This is very interesting to me. You have the right to assert your rights. The UN even agrees you have human rights if you have the lesser rights. If you want to go to that, that is come subject to what? The state? So you have to answer outside the state as well. And the only way I know to do that at this point, because of the pressure, of the strength of the power here, of the martial consideration, the necessity the state takes on, the national security, if you will, implementation, is you have to go after the basis by which they're making the decision. The medical martial law has the weakness that it declares a presumption. You will have to assert quickly at some point that there was no, that you need, you, they have to afford you a due process, and then you be ready to prove out how that their standard could not comport with the objective basis. Arrington, then he goes on to say that this guy Arrington, who asserted his rights, said that you cannot continue the search. The article goes on and says, Arrington is right. The court says, offering a PDF here that you'll get if you get the link, quote, the court agrees and makes two critical findings. One, by the time Fright initiated the traffic stop, that's the cop, Arrington, Fright, Arrington was no longer a passenger in the van, was on private property doing nothing suspicious, and should never have been subject to an investigation in connection with the traffic stop. And two, even if Arrington was still a passenger when the traffic stop was initiated, Norris admitted that only focus of his investigation was to investigate Arrington for another criminal activity. For this, he did not have the reasonable, articulable suspicion necessary for a continued investigatory detention. The article goes on to say, the court says the traffic stop, such as it were, was justified and that could have encompassed Arrington if he had still been in the vehicle. All these facts are critical to keep track of when you go to try and apply this stuff elsewhere. What is going on exactly, and how are you going to have the better word in your mouth to present that? It was no protection again for Arrington, was it, though? You're dealing with, and so why apply this down to medical quarantine where you heard the cops shooting people in the street in China, or the military was? There's no difference to the military thing, a military officer that you think is a cop who fears for his life because he's going to be infected by you, presumptively. But he goes on to say in this article, and that could have encompassed Arrington if he had still been in the vehicle. But the Supreme Court's Rodriguez decision doesn't just affect drivers, it also affects passengers. The speedy but unrelated criminal investigation is still a violation of rights, even if it did not reasonably prolong the stop. It's the expansion that's the problem. So I could read more, you can probably do this. They talk about the distinction and the similarity, but the distinction in passengers. And we go back to that discussion I told you about what probable cause is and what's reasonable. And here you hear, when they stop you, it's investigatory. That's administrative. And I'll just tell you, I know a guy who, we've argued this, a friend of mine, the guy who got me into this, who exposed to me how you file paper with the courts. When he did the research, and we were doing the research, he found out it was investigatory. He went down there to try and prove that out, and the government will not admit this is an administrative stop, even though the Motor Vehicle Department is completely an agency. Even though when they charge you, it's completely underneath regulation. And so there's another level of corruption. They admit this is merely an investigatory stop. It's an administrative investigation. And yet they'll deny that you have the right to stop it before. Only again, this is that occupation. And why, when I saw these things, it caused me to start looking in different places for a better response. And just so you, just because I've said it before, I don't want to get too deep in it, though. I really don't like handing people loaded guns. It's a little lot more work to consider, but you do have to consider it. Was the remedy of an injunction throwing the grant in as a, being violated as a prohibition and a restraint of the government to against violation. We're in a totally different realm now. Remove it from the code and put it on the land again. Not because I say I'm a free man on the land. No, you say here's the grant of the land given, granted to people that the grantor cannot violate, nor any one undertaking to protect that can violate, and nor can any trespasser without remedy. It's a totally different discussion. Anyway, that wouldn't apply necessarily to the traffic stop. Remember, the word traffic is commerce. Again, there's a lot in this little report here that you're up against this thing where the cops, you would think they are citizens like you, whether or not you want to trigger on citizen, they're fellow members of society. You'd think we'd all want the best for us, and yet they come out with this color, this title, this so-called authority, and they want to hurt you because they're doing you a favor. It's no different the authority they come at it without check, without balance, relative to the military martial quarantine that they're putting on you underneath a presumption. When I say that, I almost got chills. You should be chilled to the bone relative to what you think about living in a so-called free country. And if you don't know what I've been saying, or quite get what I've been saying, or roll your eyes, or whatever your excuse is about understanding the dynamic, and like I would have at least an answer. I'd come back, if you will, I'd come back fighting. Although I don't do the fight, like, you know, it's not here to come back for the fight. I would come back with something substantial. Would you? Now, whether or not I may lose that battle because we're in such an occupying territory and I may be the only last voice about it, I don't know. But it doesn't stop me from going at them in a more proper way. Can you do that? And if you can't, why not? Because that's what it takes if you want to call yourself, presume you're a free American with property and the ability to live in an organized society that has limitations. If you won't see the defend the limitation, force the restraint, you live in a prison. And I don't know what more to say about that. People will just disapprove of that, but that's just a dismissal that has no basis. And I don't know what to do about that because I'm not everybody. We all make our own decisions. You think I didn't make sure that I, this Corona not beer heist, you didn't think I made sure we have some, you know, okay, did everyone get their stuff? You all ready to go for 3 weeks? Of course I did. Not because I want to do it. Not because I think that the coronavirus is anything. No, other people are going to get rid of my routine. And so I better buffer, but a big cachet here. No, that'll work over with a cachet of food, cachet of supplies, cachet of whatever, like a computer cachet. I got to store up some stuff because I've got too much input going on that I may run out of. I better start storing some stuff up so my computer processor can run for a while when I run out of stuff. So, I want to stop talking. I wish people just understood we have a different thing going on. They're showing us they're willing to hurt us. They're showing us, if we didn't notice, that they're willing to kill us if we have an objection. And nobody lifts a finger, even into this. To me, this is a big drill, too. This is not even it's not gone live yet, actually. And we're not exercising our rights. We're not exercising our remedies. We're not finding out what we do and don't know. We're not placing it in the context of education either, so that we can kind of soften the blow, if you will. Now we put as I've tried to do when I've interjected with particularly the sheriff, because we're out in the public land all the time, we've got to deal with those guys, or the BLM. I put it in a context that's not threatening and somewhat educational, and then I always make sure that I've got that dynamic built in that I don't have to tell them all I know, but they know I know something more than what they were prepared for. And then that's a different question. That's whether or not they want to deal with me. Not in that moment. In the future, if they want to pull the trigger, but hopefully you're not allowing them to pull the trigger. They write a citation, or they want to kind of ball you up and put you in the system. They realize in a lowered state of discussion that they may have something more that they want to deal with. because they have to be told by the court. This is not built into them. That should be your first indication you don't live in the country that you were told. That's why I say my main problem with the courts right now seem to be when they get bills out, they should be actually running over to an initial good review of the law that's proposed to become law to see if it even it meets the smell test for lawfulness. But they don't do it that way. And that should be another lesson. So this court, for those of you that says that you know, your rights, you can assert your rights, the cops have to recognize it. Here was a court case right in the same, it actually came a few days before, that they're locking people down under a presumptive medical quarantine reason, which is really, I keep telling you, it's a very difficult one. So here where the courts have to tell the law enforcer that he's got a limit, it should be a scary proposition, but that they have to tell the cop is interesting. They have to explain to people that there is this limit, whether or not you're going to see this in interaction. Remember, the guy didn't get these rights up front. He had to go through this nonsense in order to get that done. That it's what the government seems, you heard early, like John Rappaport, the virus. It's the medical version of Satan. This is the detrimental world that they've created. This is like a world of death. And they have to entice you into this world of death to you bring the life. And I know this is getting a little bit odd, but there was something that was in the news a long time ago that I never got to, that it just seemed somehow to be a reflection of this condition. We have these manipulators that will cause and induce you to come into a dead space, and make you believe it's actually full of life, and you pretend or you believe because of that propaganda, that promotion, that it's some place to live. I found this little story that it just really is kind of indicative of what I think I see in a weird reflection, that the society is created in a dead space, but it's you're induced into false securities. And you say, you either agree or you say nothing against the false security, as I've been talking today, and that I do very routinely on the broadcast. That this little story was kind of indicative of that. We got these scientists and technology, so we just go technocracy too, that create this environment that induce you to accept, that also cool your jets so that you don't reject it, and even agree in your silence that it's a, let them do what they will, they don't really affect me. Like they lock down your neighborhood, but you're okay. I'm okay. I'm prepped for 3 weeks. Let them do their worst. That's not the point. Yes, that's right. You'll be all right. But that's not the point of what they just done. They've just now intruded and trespassed on rights on a presumptive position without due process is a very violation of the existence of the laws that you sit in that you think protects you. It's a dead space. But they've made certain inducements that you'll agree. These are false inducements, but you've allowed them. This is like the silent weapons or quiet wars in a way as well. And this little story here plays to that. And it's fascinating how nature, like last week I said how to resist natural law. Yeah, this was another one of those types of stories. We're living in a dead space in the world, not life. And yet they'll induce you into a dead space and you'll be living happy as clams. Scientists are playing sounds underwater to bring dead coral reefs back to life. It was a fascinating insight, it seemed to me, based in this setup I've just told you about here, how a dead space you can induce life into a place, but it's not really that's not really the truth, is it? Dead coral reefs have become one of the most major horrors resulting from human impacts. Remember the stories about how to keep you confined in the trauma of how bad you are in the world and all your things you do. You human cancer. Worse than any virus has developed into. Dead coral reefs have become one of the major horrors resulting in human impact, with thousands of miles of coral ecosystems across the globe being transformed into bleached out graveyards due to the devastating impact of fast heating ocean temperatures. Get your pasta out, folks. Rising sea levels, but step back a little bit, and pollution and overfishing. Well, that'll kill them, won't it? Okay. And for years, the Great Barrier Reef off of Australia's coast, the largest living structure on the entire planet, has faced a slow death. Like your society. With massive amounts of coral simply dying, while the rest of the once dazzling coral transforms into bleached, lifeless matter. But now, scientists have discovered an ingenious way to restore life to the dead patches of the Great Barrier Reef by playing the ambient sounds of nature through loudspeakers to lure fish to the area. The fish would then help to clean up the reef, allowing for the growth of fresh corals necessary to recover reef ecosystems. That's the plan. The scientists had long been concerned about the deadly quiet surrounding damaged coral reefs, which once teemed with the sound of healthy marine life, creating a sort of oceanic orchestra of sounds from fish, shrimp, and various other reef denizens. But without the sound of such traffic, many fish simply avoid the dead zones. So a team of researchers led by marine biologists at the University of Exeter, set up a system of submarine loudspeakers to play healthy recordings and healthy reefs in a bid to attract the fish, the attention of the fish, to the dead coral patches around Lizard Island of the Great Barrier Reef. The results were published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal, Nature Communications, were astounding. According to the Friday press release from the University of Exeter, quote, the study found the broadcasting healthy reef sound sounded the total number of fish arrived onto experimental patches of reef habitat, as well as increasing the number of species present by 50%. You hear about sustainable cities here, folks? It sounds nice, so you are attracted to it, folks. Nature Communications. They treat you like an animal, folks. Experimental patches. Because all your life seems to be nothing but one big experimental patch. And you're induced and lulled to a place that's actually a dead zone. Lulled into a trap. The fish are crucial for coral reefs to function as healthy ecosystems. Boosting fish populations is the way could help to kickstart, in this way, could help to kickstart natural recovering processes, countering the damage we're seeing in many coral reefs around the world. What's the problem with that statement, folks? The reef, the coral is dead. Coral is typically, it's supposed to be alive. It's an animal. You're looking at its skeleton in a reef. So here they are hanging the, trying to get flesh to come to the bones of a dead thing. And this is what scientists do. This is the scientists behind your salvation for the corona, the invention of it, no less. There's a dead space that they're inducing you to live in, and you show up. And they're hoping their plan will be that you will revitalize a skeleton. Based on communication. The loudspeaker experiment, which lasted about 6 weeks, could provide one more tool in the ongoing fight to restore and protect the world's dying coral reefs. It could provide. However, broadcasting of healthy sounds won't necessarily allow the dead patches to miraculously swing back to life. Oh, there's a reality, folks. Life is not animated by man's sound. Continued restoration efforts and moves to mitigate or halt climate change, the virus, folks. Climate change, the virus, folks. Climate change remain crucial in saving the Great Barrier Reef. So, they found that making sounds of life, probably it sounds like food, attracts fish and critters. And their hope is as long as they can fabricate an environment that life will magically develop and ecosystems will become healthy instead of looking at the potential cause, like nature itself or possibly those pollution, possibly a lot of the things that are being done in the world, but nobody knows. But they're willing to put time and energy and money into creating a false environment. And to me, that was exactly what we're seeing in any of this nonsense that we see. Only it's in the reverse sense. This is like a neutral concept. They want to bring life to a dead space, or they can bring death to a life space. And they do it on communication. And you are falling into your animal nature to believe it when you're not resisting. Because we have a different thing to understand. And we have a voice we could be placing out there at least and make a different sound, which would expose the spaghetti western false front for the dead space it is, and really work toward making our places a life space, which requires a more peaceful existence. And so there's a bunch of Twitters that came through to identify this problem, where the government works in one way. The death purveyors of death do one direction. When you look at what's out there to do, they always go seemingly in a wrong direction or something that isn't as viable as going in others. And so we have some evidences of that. There's a life space to support. In fact, we go after the death side. This death cult. The virus is the medical equivalent to Satan. Right? Just like John said right up front. Pretty fascinating how this seems to correlate, at least in my mind, the evidence is before us. What, to focus on the evidence? No, to focus on finding out where the real causes are and whether we decide to live in a cesspool. Or do we the swamp allow others to make us force us into the swamp, or do we step out of the stinking abyss and start making life the way we expect it to be and work toward that expectation as a fulfillment? And I've been looking at like this land disposal law. It fulfills laws in production that is healthy, makes wealth instead of what you see the death purveyors do. So someone observed here on the internet, 14 people in the U.S. have died from the coronavirus. 22 veterans die each day from suicide. Can we throw $8 billion at that too? And I thought that caught my eye. That's right. Here it is. People recognize this. No, they don't. They ask the question. They're not working real hard to expose the criminals. But yes, we have 22 people dying, veterans dying from suicide every day. That's the report. I'll just go with it. Why didn't we put $8 billion at that? The problem with that is, we think we have this money to throw at it. So this is a mind that thinks there's this unlimited well. And there is, but that would make an agreement to the fraud, wouldn't it? But so we have a problem in here, but we have an observation. Why wouldn't 14 people die in the U.S. does 22 people dying a day not get the money and only 14 people? It's at least an interesting question, if not the fact. Why don't we throw that money then? Why do the death purveyors put money into making more death, making more constraint, making more less peace, more reliance on the death cult? Another Twitter came through showing someone else's facts. I'm just going to go with these, folks. You can go ahead and think about the accuracy. I'm not worried about that. There is you can get to the specific numbers if you want. It's the general idea here. Why do we go after 14 cases when there's 22 veterans dying, and this served your country and protected you, and I know all the propaganda, don't get lost in all that. There's people in this country that are hurting that did something that were promised care, and they're not getting it. But you don't see the money coming or the system. And I have people, my colleagues are veterans and older, and they're not getting that care. And a lot of it's the mismanagement and the interference with the states, as far as we can tell. And the system is there to do it, but it's taking some people to step up and say, hey, you guys are doing it wrong. Here's how you can do it better. Not as an opinion, more as how it's supposed to work and being misadministered. Another observation. 600,000 Americans die from cancer. 300,000 die from obesity. 250,000 die from medical errors. That's the doctors themselves. 120,000 die from Alzheimer's. 55,000 die from the flu. From the flu, 45,000 commit suicide. A large part, some of those are veterans, aren't they? And 700,000 babies are aborted. but the MSM is freaking out over a bad cold. Yeah, pretty clear, right? Where are we putting our money? Where does the death cult puts it in places that it doesn't help anything? And then there's a problem with that. You can't put money into things that are actually the cause of the system itself. So don't think I'm saying we fund more of this bad research. It's the cha-ching. It's the money, honey, as John Rappaport said in his article. Fun fact, another one. With $8.5 billion, the government, I think it was $8.3 actually, it was promoted as $8.5, but anyway, $8.5 billion, the government just pulled out of thin air in a matter of weeks based on a hoax known as coronavirus. We could build a house for every single homeless veteran in the United States. Now, I don't know if that's accurately the fact, but $8.5 billion would be quite a bit. I don't know the homeless numbers of veterans. I don't know if that would even help someone who wants to be homeless and all that. I'm just saying that's a better idea to consider than putting $3 billion to making a virus vaccine that's known, has no safety tests whatsoever. They claim they're going to be doing them under questionable cha-ching, follow the money testing, and force a DNA-altering type of therapy on people. It would seem more peaceful to go help people with that same amount of money. Since they're making it out to there is no limit, is there? The other fraud that we as a society accept. And yet, what's the truth? They talk about, some people they said it's a hoax. They actually mentioned the flu, 50,000. Well, and I think Grimner and Moose Girl and their Freakers Ball, they were talking about the coronavirus also, like I am today. And I passed on this link. I just wanted people to start, let's look at the regular flu here, folks. And so I just went to the CDC, the military gatekeeper, and even the military gatekeeper will explain to you the seriousness of the coronavirus by not mentioning. Preliminary in-season 2019 to 2020 flu burden estimates. They have a sampling that they do. You can read about it. You get the link. You go through this website to understand what they're doing, how they go about doing it. So I'm just going to take these numbers on their face. They're an estimate of the burden. They go back to when flu season started from October 1st, 2019 through February 29th. This is their estimations of the burden that the flu is causing on society, the United States alone. 34 million to 49 million have the flu illness, folks. 34 million have been affected by the seasonal flu. Why does the corona even mark an interest? 16 million to 23 million had medical visits due to that flu, the seasonal flu. Remember, coronavirus was named early, and I think it was an error, or they found out later different. It was a novel virus. It's not considered part of it. But while this was going on, while they have you got enamored, focused on emptying the shelves of all the toilet paper in the world, the flu has hospitalized 350,000 to 620,000 of you. Why wasn't the shelves decimated for whatever they would be before because of the flu? Shows you that natural communication runs your life. You are like a fish. You're a school of fish. You'll go where the sound of life is, even though if it's a false inducement. Here's the tally of those people that went to hospitalization. 20,000 to 52,000 has died this year. But this is in the beginning to now of the flu season. This is not even going to finish off. Let's go low. 20,000. Did you hear $8.3 billion being dedicated to stop the seasonal flu to help you all, folks? Did you hear the quarantines locked down cities and towns because it's killed off so many people? One person died in California and it was a national disaster, national emergency. Now we're going to get all this money from this billions of dollars now advocating for the coronavirus, defeat of the coronavirus. Something you understand can't really be tested. something that the 20,000, I mean, folks, is what are we even here for, really, on this? Why are we so enamored by this? What else can be going on when you see this? They won't respond to 20,000 deaths, but one person died to something they labeled, and now it's military martial law. What's the real thing going on? I think is the military martial law. I have another link you'll get, weekly U.S. influenza surveillance. Again, I think they said 136 people died this week just from the seasonal flu, but there's no money put toward it. There's no money put toward the veterans. There's no money put toward anything that they need, actually. There's no money put toward production, which would build the society back up and make them healthy and wealthy and then healthy and everyone's out to work and not so close in on everybody. No, this is a plan of the death cult. Like maybe do I call that, is that instead of the beer heist of 2020, I call it the death cult? Is that what I'd finally go to? Will that get people who will listen? I mean, is that what you everyone's listening for? All this hype, sensational stuff? It's just the way the life has been, and everybody makes sensationalized instead of acting on it. But at any rate, we got the weekly influenza. They'll tell you all about how this all works. They'll tell you how minuscule even the coronavirus, with all of its little prickly outside, how minuscule that effect is. Why has 20,000 people died and not a dime extra has been going to it? I don't know, folks. I don't know what to say. That should be self-evident. And I get to the thing I led to again. A Twitter came out. Why is no infection in the Army? Military official now gives the response. Now listen to this response. I was waiting for an answer here, folks, but listen to the response. Under the unified command and deployment of the military in response to the Central Committee of CPC, CMC, and President Xi Jinping, guess you say his name, the PLA will continue to strengthen its own prevention and control. So why, if they need a vaccine, why are they not affected, apparently? Well, they could be lying about that. However, I also told you that they interceded early on, and they were the gatekeeper, like CDC, which shows us a potential control. I'm not saying it's necessarily a military attack. I'm saying there's a different type of plan going on. Why aren't they being affected? Well, we don't really know, because they're not saying. But maybe there's reasons. And if they aren't being affected now, then what's this new DNA virus vaccine, or the new vaccine that the Congress just dumped a bunch of money onto, instead of helping the veterans, instead of helping the homeless, or anything else that's out there, instead of the infrastructure? So remember the war of terror, folks, and all that dump of money, that big old cesspool of money pit that it is? No, this is another one just like it. Well, why aren't the military at least infected? Why did they put the military in early? Kind of telegraphed a couple of things. We can't say for sure because they'll never let us know. I tell you, the CDC looks like the same problem. Why don't they? Aren't they too seriously worried about it? Why are they telling you that there's 20,000 people dead from the seasonal flu and they're not concerned about that? Led me over to some ideas. And you've heard some things you could do. Some of you that are health conscious know this stuff. I'm not even saying this is the only thing to do. Each one of you have to make these decisions. Each one of you has to create a healthy environment for yourself that you can resist being affected. You can create an environment of your body that will resist some of this stuff. Remember, you've got flu and bacteria and fungus and all kinds of stuff floating through you. Most likely you're not so clean and pure, and it doesn't kill you. It's just when something overwhelms your system because it got deficient. And one of the ways you can respond has already been known. Maybe why the military there is not talking. Because maybe the government wants a different problem, or maybe it's a different problem like pollution over in China, or maybe like in the CDC, they got something to sell you, like the WHO, not the rock group, not the owl, but the World Health Organization has something to sell you with a brokered vaccine that changes your DNA, or the United States of America is agreeing with that. But they don't want to tell you what you have available because they want to. There's too much cha-ching in it. Your Congress people or Congress critters are criminal, and they're only in on it. They've been in on the defeat of this country, the United States of America, for a long many years. Hindsight's 2020, folks. People still haven't woken up. Here's try this maybe. Early large dose intravenous vitamin C is the treatment of choice in 2019 and COVE for pneumonia. Do I need to read more? Again, the title. We've known that. People know that. People who deal with vitamin C know this. Large dose of vitamin C. Now, I think this is the intravenous. I won't even read it. You can get the link. You can do the read. You can type this in and get it up. This was done back in February 16th. They knew this. Do you think maybe the military is using it? Do you think that Trump's coming out and saying, oh, you don't have to worry about it because they know they can handle this at any time? But what are they promoting? Do you believe Trump understands when he's having to give a slideshow from the death merchant extraordinaire? Have you dissed that little trick? Who's the real president here at this point? Who's the real one in power? It is a very interesting observation, I think. But here, vitamin C, high dose, IVs, I think. That's an indication. It's an indication that you can fortify your body, put it in a state of protection. Even after the fact, your body will come out and it will help. Now, I'm not saying this is the only answer. I'm saying someone has found this back in February. The middle of February. Okay? Answer. 14 foods to eat when you have a cold. That's not the flu, so you got to be careful. But there's stuff on the internet. You want to get sick and fight something off? Is this what I was telling you before? You find out what you can use for yourself. I intimated some last week. Why? Because it's not death and destruction behind the woodshed. It's not something to fear. You just got to put yourself in a place, and you don't know. Mother Nature's pretty tough. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. I've had my near-death experience. I know it can be tough. I know I had to resort to Western medicine, otherwise I wouldn't be here. So I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm saying we have responsibility to take. And then if we're taking responsibility, and we know that, who are you allowing to come in and presumptively make you a vector? And that you're not standing up against that, even before the fact? You're not sending the message out, they better have better for you? Better sit down and figure out how you do affect the limitations on government. Because if you're not, you're agreeing. You're just like the fish believing you're induced into this false sense of life when it's just nothing but death. I could read this is chamomile tea, 14 foods, and chamomile tea, turmeric, this is all really more herbs, tart dried cherries, walnuts. Walnuts are very interesting. Extra virgin olive oil, soup or broth to me, chicken soup, folks. Make a nice bone broth chicken soup. And put that as if you can eat it. If you can't, because you really got the flu and it's taking you down, when you get the flu, you know it, folks, because you got nothing else you're going to do. I hear so many people, I got a cough and a chest thing and feel miserable. That ain't what we're talking about here. This is a near-death experience sometimes for people. When you get it, you get it. How do you fortify against it? Take responsibility. Now, then do you extend, now that you've taken responsibility, do you then look in the world and say, yeah, it's getting pretty high here, so I'm going to limit my exposure. I don't need to fight that battle. But when they come to take away your rights and set up the condition where they can, and they put money behind that, you might want to look at that as your, while you're contained and isolated, start putting time and energy into what you're going to do when you're ready to go out. And complain that they did this on the presumptive basis without any real actual basis at all, and challenge those things. Be one of the people that does that. Boost your immune system. You want to get it from Harvard? I don't know if I do, but it came up. Interesting what they talk about, and they talk about micronutrition being very important. This is a little talked about thing. Minerals and elements, find like zinc and copper and selenium. Very important, and we don't seem to get that enough in our diet. As I told you, I was astonished at how much iodine it took. When I started looking at it, actually, you don't look and listen to the CDC, you don't look at the RDA, you got to look at what your body needs. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. And everybody assimilates the stuff different or doesn't assimilate the stuff correctly. And you have to know that yourself. No one else can know that. So there's things that you think the military's not going down. Maybe they're getting IV infusions of vitamin C in China. Maybe they got something else in China. Why aren't they putting it out amongst the people? Maybe they are, we're not hearing about it. Maybe the MSM is pushing their own propaganda in the United States. Why? We see our own medical martial law being implemented, bit by bit, and being paid for, just like I suggested would be happening. So how to boost your immune system? It's all on the internet now, folks. This shouldn't even be a discussion. Those of you that do it already, I'm not talking to anybody here. Those of you that don't, go check it out. That's to get your body all set up and at least resistant a bit, able to fight something. High vitamin C, whether or not that's oral, I think it is, but they're talking after you get it, you maybe go acute, maybe you need an IV. Why wasn't there any money spent for having everybody available to a vitamin C IV, the money that was appropriated? Unless these are death cult criminals that are foisting this deprivation, this death upon you through pharmaceuticals and what? Your constraint of your life. There's all these alternatives that they're not choosing. Why does the Chinese military have no sickness if we look past the fact that they wouldn't admit to it because that's a national security statement anyway? But let's just say that they don't have any. Or it's manageable. Maybe it's because they have other things. This one comes up, pretty interesting. Chloroquine. Chloroquine is a medication used to prevent and treat malaria in areas where malaria is known to be sensitive to its effects. Certain types of malaria, resistant strains, and complicated cases typically require different or additional medication. It is also occasionally used in amoebiasis that is occurring outside in the intestines, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, erythematosus, and it's taken by mouth. Common side effects include muscle problems, loss of appetite, diarrhea, skin. Serious side effects include problems with vision, muscle damage, seizures, and low blood cell levels, but it appears to be safe during pregnancy. Well, there's a lot that's not safe during pregnancy, and the government wants to give it to y'all. Chloroquine is a member of the drug class 4 aminoquinoline. It works against the asexual form of malaria inside the red blood cells. What's important? What am I reading about this? Because China found out that this also works for so-called coronavirus. It's used in places outside the United States extensively. Why might it not be part of it here? Okay, so why might it not be part of it? Because it's cheap. 4 cents in developing world. The problem? United States, it costs $5.30 a dose if you don't think you live in an economic prison in the United States. The Chinese have found this works. Does it work for everybody? I can't, because we don't even know what the coronavirus is, but it apparently works. Because the thing that's actually killing people is more like a malarial condition. That the Chinese have been using this pharmaceutical for a ton of time. It's on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines. Have you heard about it? Well, if you read the stories that said that they found it out, did you dismiss it? Well, I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't dismiss something that they say would work. Maybe you would need to test that yourself. How are you going to get it in the United States? They're not telling you. Are you going to be able to get it to 4 cents a dose? No. Why? Why didn't they make billions of dollars in subsidy to hand that available to you at Walmart with your IV, your vitamin C IV? I don't know, folks. Why don't you ask the so-called representatives? Why don't you find out why they're making war on you by not providing you the nutritional things, that the nutrients that you need that are on record to have helped? Why? Well, maybe it's because of this guy, Anthony Fauci. He's the NAID director. He's the guy that Trump just got a slideshow presentation about coronavirus. And I'm just reading from a DuckDuckGo search description. That's all I'm going to read from here. Dr. Fauci is an appointed director of NIAID in 1984. Talk about a fossil. He oversees an extensive research portfolio of basic and applied science to prevent, diagnosis, and treat established infectious diseases such as HIV, AIDS, respiratory infections, diarrheal diseases, tuberculosis, and malaria, as well as emerging diseases such as Ebola and Zika. He's in on it, folks. He's the guy that creates all this stuff, allows it into the system, researches it, packages it up, and he just gave a slideshow to the president, who doesn't seem to be too worried about it. We can handle it, he says. Maybe he knows something. Everyone wants to dismiss like he's not taking it serious. I think he knows exactly what's going on. If he doesn't, he's just showing you that the public workers, the officials, are just as stupid as everybody else. So it still folds up on you to do the responsibility to protect yourself. But this guy, Anthony Fauci, understands about malaria. He knows all about this chloroquine. The World Health Organization knows about it. It's an essential drug. Did he come out and deny that it worked? Has he denied, like they deny all these other treatments? Remember last week I went through a whole list of things that don't work. Was chloroquine on that list? Was IV vitamin C? Was high-dose vitamin C orally? No. They're not denouncing them either. So, the silence, folks. But this guy is in with all of these things, Ebola and Zika, the frauds and hoaxes about all that. Never came out to say no. He's the purveyor. He's the so-called expert. Do you realize in a medical martial law how powerful this guy is? Do you realize who he's, the mind of whom he's controlling? Should kind of make you think just a little bit if it doesn't send a little bit of a shiver, not a fever, but a shiver down your spine. This is one of the global players who is in the business of deceiving everybody. He knows all about certain things. He hasn't denounced a couple of things that have come out that have proven, and yet we don't see the Congress putting money into that as an answer and making it available everywhere. Is America great again? Only to special interests. Because you're not part of the club. You're going to be clubbed by the club. Little baby seals. Why? Because they've induced you in to make a nice sounding place to live over the skeleton of a dead corpse. It's been rotting in the ground in the stinking abyss for decades, if not centuries. Aren't you interested that this is all kind of pulled together? You've got one guy to look at now? That's what interested me. Is Trump ignorant, or is he really no? This has been going by the drill, folks. So the next thing comes up, John Whitehead again. The guy I love to hate, I guess. Like I said, I don't hate, but I don't know the guy. He's always won't quite go to the edge, though. He won't jump over and take the plunge. Coronavirus versus the military, coronavirus versus the mass surveillance state. Which poses the greater threat? Written just like an attorney. The wrong question. Coronavirus versus the mass surveillance state. He doesn't perceive that it's the same thing. Which poses the greater threat is not a good question. He doesn't want to agree in the condition of the reality that it looks like to me that I've been telling you is going on. He writes, if, as it seems, we are in the process of becoming a totalitarian society in which the state apparatus is all-powerful, the ethics most important for survival of the true, free, human individual would be cheat, lie, evade, fake it, be elsewhere, forge documents, build improved electronics, gadgets in your garage that allow out with the gadgets used by the authorities, as stated by Philip K. Dick. Yeah. Folks, it's not a totalitarian state becoming. It's there, they're just implementing it. And they're implementing it underneath your reactive awareness. That is, the, by definition, an occupying force. As I distill it down to just don't piss off the natives. John Whitehead won't look at this as a military surveillance tool, concept. It's a tool. The coronavirus is a label. You see it being used to vilify, presume, and indict people into conditions that they're willing to receive. How do I know that? Because no one really steps up to say, wait a minute. No one calls them on it. Even John Rappaport, is not, again, this is, that's true, what he's writing up to put somewhere, but he doesn't place it anywhere and follow through, or someone doesn't grab it up and go there and start to make an issue over these things and really cause the government to show itself. The coronavirus versus the mass surveillance state, I don't really see it as a difference. It's just a different part of the ongoing occupation. And it proves itself out that it's functioning. And it's functioning very well without opposition. When you read more, I mean, he goes on, he talks great. I mean, it sounds good stuff. Sounds like he's really wanting to do something. But he's got all the ideas here, but he doesn't put them in practice. It's my problem with a lot of people. His question is really an attorney's question. If you engage the question, you miss really the important context, which is exactly what you said. You think there's a difference, and there's not. You create this issue that doesn't exist, and you don't get focused on the important thing. And I see him do this routinely. And I don't think bad of the guy. I just see him do this for my interpretation. He explains things the way they are, but with all his insight, he's not working to move this into venues that bring out the better truth. Maybe more akin to why don't you help veterans? That really should go out as a more substantial attack to push back against things like this medical martial law. I don't know what else to really say about that. It's, you accept that you nod agreeably, but you don't take any more steps. And we see that the government itself is not taking this too seriously. We also see human frailty and foible. And then you also have to answer if this response is what is guiding his leadership, you should be very afraid. Very afraid. Not of the coronavirus. Not even of the flu. But who's making these decisions that are utilizing the ultimate power of the state to potentially harm you eventually because of the ultimate power of the state? Where we see a Twitter, quick 14 seconds, you'll have to get it. Coronavirus instructions, wait for it. 14-second video where one of the women spokespeople of the CDC talking about don't touch your face, don't wash your hands, don't touch your face, don't stick your fingers in your mouth. And the last second of what she does is to stick her finger in her mouth to turn the page that she's reading from. And my response to when I saw that, my thought was, do as we say, not as we do. Finger-licking goodness. Oh, my goodness. Do you see the example that they're giving? They don't even believe what they're saying. And yet people are being locked out and locked down. People are allowing money to be appropriated, not to help and do peace and calm and actually help people, to invoke more special interest controls under their determination. And you start putting this in context of what's going on, I think I don't know how you'd be coming away any different than seeing that this is definitely a martial context, a military control context going on. And it's already been in place. They've been working out how to bring it on. It isn't quite there quite yet. And I think the WHO telegraphed that when they didn't go to pandemic. Something happened there. That they weren't going to be able to perfect the proof. And someone saw that coming, so they don't push it. Now they soft pedal this thing. They promote the coronavirus when 20,000 of you aren't going to ever hear this again. You're dead. But everyone else focuses on a couple hundred, a couple thousand. Oh, now it's looking at Italy. Italy only has a 4% death rate. Oh, thousands and thousands will die. No, it's only going to be a couple hundred over the time of a few weeks. Yes, that's a lot of people, but it's not something you dump $8.3 billion on. It's not something you necessarily have to lock 60 million people up for unless you're testing how to do that and what you're going to do for 30 days. You understand, folks? Put yourself there. You cannot come outside your house for 30 days. And this is all, again, I see this stuff and it kind of ties together for me. Where the Congress will spend $8.3 billion to fight an illusion when the flu is something they never fight. Then I see this story, I realize that there's something in the government that does think about what they're spending money on. when they're dealing with a killer. And so it's not, again, you're trying to figure, is there rationale? Yeah, I think there is. To focus us on these people that supposedly represent us are here to hurt us. And they're forcing that agenda down, and we're not responding as that vigilant mass of people. Oh, we'll talk about stuff. Oh, we got a Second Amendment right. Oh, we're going to alter or abolish the government when they do enough. When does that come, folks? And can you use the Second Amendment against the coronavirus? Yeah, kill it. Shoot that virus with your gun. Go ahead. Tell me how that works for you. But the Army knows about whether or not they are investing money for all the trillions they lose. U.S. Army scraps $1 billion Iron Dome project after Israel refuses to provide the key codes. Oh, wow. So now we understand that digital technology is important. It's controllable, that someone doesn't want to give up the goods on that. Maybe we don't want to buy their product. Who is Israel anyway to do that? What did those key codes do with that system? So the military, for all of its waste, could decide it's not going to continue a $1 billion system. Why can't Congress figure out it's got a bigger problem with 20,000 people dead than the couple hundred that coronavirus, the virus is bringing on everybody, folks. So digital security is all powerful, and the government can say, we're not going to pay for that. Then you have to ask, why are they paying for other things in other places? Is a plan. And at some point, that trickles down to you. It's why this type of stuff, they're not going to take that billion now and turn it over to the veterans' housing that they need. No, they're going to be looking at a more integrated, they're going to have another shootout to have more death cult-making equipment. It's just not going to go to Israel. Again, they know what to spend their money on. So why do they spend it on, frivolous things? Why do they spend it on things that harm you? Why do they spend it on things that sends a sound that induces you into life when you're living in a dead space? I really found that story fascinating about that, the manipulation of man against critter, and the man that's making the manipulation thinks you no different than that critter. What do you think, folks? Are you being played? Are you outdoing yourself? Are you not responding because you're so much what? These people are tying the noose on you mentally. What are you going to do about it? I mean, there's other things I was going to get to in the digital, moving from the digital sense of this. I don't know if I have enough time now, but we do it again the way they internet, our interaction with the internet. They tell us certain browsers. I was going to get onto the Brave browser. They say the private, I'll get onto a little bit quick. The private browser deemed phoning home, it was Brave was the most private browser in terms of phoning home. That was the only terms that it's private in. That browser actually integrates with your system processes. So how private is this really? How unintrusive is something like the Brave browser? Well, the U.S. military won't buy a billion-dollar system because they won't give the key codes. Why are you disregarding the details behind your digital connection to the world, which is coming as a tool, the technocratic tool against you? And the same thing, going a little bit quicker with this, is the DuckDuckGo tells you who's tracking you. Why? Because they need to keep track on what things are doing. Don't think they're not tracking this thing with the Corona implementation and drill to see what's going on. Consider these things. Thank you very much for listening to me today. Hopefully I'd give you some inspiration to do something more while you're locked down and all your freedom, folks, for this Corona beer virus heist. Thank you, Grimmer, for what you do at reallibertymedia.com. Everything you do there, all the syndicators, thank you very much. Jules over at UCY.TV, UCY TV, thank you very much. And Sound Minds and Normalization of Ignorance, and probably all you guys, thank you for all the things that you do. Appreciate it. I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs, or Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
That's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.